There's nothing special about being American. None of you can define for me what an American is.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I'm 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I'm Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, Davy Crockett. I'm Lee.
Coming to you from the D-Tom Studios in the free state of Florida, sponsored by Maker's Mark Bourbon, this is Don't Tread on America. Your host, John Q. Let's go. Come on, sing it, boys. Alright guys, how's everybody doing out there today? It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, and this damn cord from my headphones is really bugging the shit out of me. How's everybody doing out there today? If you're watching this on Rumble there on Don't Tread on America TV, you'll see the angst that goes, because I start recording the video before, you know, as the music starts, so you see me just standing here, sitting here. And I was fighting with this damn cord the whole time. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Jesus Christ. Anyway. So, how's everybody doing out there today? Hopefully, you had a fine weekend. We all survived the eclipse. So, I had a couple people say, what happened? I thought, you know, I thought we were going to die. I thought the world was coming to an end. I never said that. I didn't say yesterday shit was going to hit the fan. I did not say on Monday. I did say that the world was going to end, but I didn't say it was going to end. You know what I'm saying? No. I specifically told you about warnings from the FBI, from different states, the state of emergency, and I just asked questions. All I said was, why? Why are these states doing state of emergency? Me, the person that I am and the way I do things, I'm going to question anything that the government, whether it's federal, local, state, whatever. I'm going to question everything anymore. I don't trust these motherfuckers as far as I can see them. And you'll see in the show today, I'm not the only one that feels that way. But when, like I said in the show Sunday, I don't recall 2017 being this big, I don't want to say hoopla, because apparently people go fucking nuts over these stupid eclipses. My ass just sat there and watched some TV and I was drinking. You know, it's like I was watching the news and I'm like watching these people lose their shit. Like, oh my God, it's happening. It's so great. It's an eclipse. It's not like it's a once in a lifetime occurrence. These things happen somewhat frequently. My thing about this particular eclipse wasn't that it was an eclipse. Eclipses happen all the time throughout the world. You know, I think every year just about there's an eclipse somewhere. It wasn't about the event of the eclipse. It was where the eclipse was, the track that it went, the fact that it crossed over a previous eclipse just a few years back, and the fact that those towns that it crossed over and the cities it tracked over and the fact that it came in through Eagle Pass. Those were the things. I just try to identify that this is a little weird, you know. Didn't say anything that the world was going to end tomorrow, yesterday. I did not say that. What I said was that be prepared for weird shit that is about to happen. Not Monday, but in the near future. I read you history that had happened in this country 150, 60 years ago. Or no, it was 1812, so 200 years ago. And I'm just marking history. I'm not saying that it happened once, it's going to happen again. I said it happened once, it very well could happen again. So let's not get it twisted. Now, the fact that I listened to podcasts today for people that did shows yesterday, during either prior to or during the event, I hadn't really heard them talk shit about anything about the eclipse up until yesterday. And then it was like, oh, you know, a bunch of conspiracy theories. There wasn't a conspiracy theory. If you want to put a conspiracy theory on what I talked about, I'm going to tell you this. It had nothing to do with the eclipse per se. I stated biblical history and history that happened in this country the last time two eclipses crossed over at one point. That's all I talked about as far as anything happening. Now, my conspiracy theories fell into the realm of why the state of emergencies, why the FBI warning, why is the lady from the Ohio emergency management, whatever, telling you to fill it with gas every time you crank up the vehicle, go fill it up with gas, make sure you have a meal preparedness in your car. I didn't say that. She did. It was on the news. I didn't say that. I didn't say I heard a lady said something about something. I played you the fucking clip. So if you want to call me a conspiracy theorist about the eclipse, cool, whatever. It wasn't about that event. It was about everything surrounding the event of these states. And my question also was, if you listen to the show, was these states, these cities have events all the time. Do they declare a state of emergency every time? Does Indianapolis declare a state of emergency every year when the Indianapolis 500 happens? No, but there sure shit was a crap ton of people in the Speedway yesterday watching the fucking eclipse. Do they do this whenever there's a football game, when the Super Bowl was in the town a few years back? I mean, those are the questions I'm asking. There wasn't any more people that derived on these locations than they do on any other given time for any other event. But now it's a state of emergency. That's why I'm asking the questions, or that's why I ask the questions. What's going on? And it wasn't because I felt the world was going to come to an end. I felt there was something they weren't telling us that may be about to happening. Not because of the eclipse. I didn't think a rapture was going to happen in, you know, not yesterday. So just stick with me, guys. Trust me. Now, today we're going to talk about Jesus coming. I have him in the studio today. And no, I'm joking. But, well, he is always with me. But you know what I'm saying. At any rate, guys, before we get into the show, guys, please make sure whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, you're following the show if I haven't lost you already. And make sure that you share this with your friends if you want them to know that you're a fucking loon. And also, if you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, guys, please give me a 5-star rating. And guys, don't forget about us on social media. I am Don't Tread on America on Facebook, Instagram, True Social, and the Ticker Talker. Now, the Ticker Talker is just for drinks. Now, if you follow me on TikTok and see the drinks that I create, I had a good one yesterday. It's called the Eclipse Old Fashioned. And let me tell you what, that motherfucker was mighty tasty. So if you want to learn how to make that, follow me on TikTok at Don't Tread on America. Also, we are on the Twitter X machine at DTom_1775. If you're not on social media, that's fine. You can still see my videos. Go to the website, DontTreadOnAmerica.com, and you can email me directly, DonQ@DontTreadOnAmerica. Guys, don't forget about our sponsors. The DTom store, links at the bottom of the podcast app and what you're listening to this on. And I came up with a new thing. Okay, so Reaper Apparel Co., we have Reaper Apparel Company right here. It's one of the shirts they gave me. Great company, awesome shirts, awesome hats. They have sweatshirts and stuff, not that it's getting into that time of year, but they have tank tops and those types of things. I got a bunch of stickers. I'm not really a sticker guy, but, you know, anywho, Might put them on my gun cases. The words. Okay, so Reaper Apparel, go to them. It's reaperapparelco.com. Use promo code DTOM. Get 10% off. And the DTOM store, guys, this is what I've decided with the DTOM store. Since I run the DTOM store, I'm the sole proprietor. I am the yin and the yang. I do outsource production to a Chinese factory. No, I'm joking. Stuff's usually made in Texas or the Midwest somewhere. Generally, if you order something today, which you should order something today, today is Tuesday, you will probably have it in your hands this time next week. So that's, in my opinion, it's not a bad thing. Like I said, it is American-made stuff. I mean, I don't know if the products, like the T-shirts and whatnot, are made in America, but the stuff is produced, the logos and all that stuff are produced in America by American workers. And the fact that you order something today and it is produced and shipped to you within a week isn't bad. It's not like I have a warehouse full of T-shirts and sweatshirts. You order it today, it gets sent to the manufacturer, they produce the shirt or whatever you buy, and within a few days, you have it in your hands. So it's a pretty quick turnaround, and I've decided that from this point forward, all proceeds from the DTOM store will be going straight to charity. Okay? Now, the charity that I have named to receive these benefits is me. No. Actually, we're going to start a thing with the people that do the stuff. So it's cool. Just send me your money and I'll take care of it. No, really. I'm going to start a... God, I can't think of the word I want to use here. I want to say page, but that's not the right word. But anyway, I'm going to start donating to the Tunnels to Tower Foundation in the name of the Don't Tread on America podcast. So with y'all's help, that will go to them. Now, they do have, like, you see the commercials on TV, and it's like, oh, $11 a month, blah, blah, blah. Anything that I get, I'm already going to do the $11 a month, okay? But anything that you guys give to me in buying a T-shirt or whatever's on the website, different, we have a bunch of different stuff. You need to go to the website. But anything that you purchase on there, anything that's profit from that, I'm going to turn around and put that right into the Tunnels to Towers Foundation, the Frank Siller thing, and try and help those out. It's really a good cause. They're a legitimate charity. There's no questions about where the money goes to with them. So, you know, I'm already going to do the $11. That's a done deal. But with y'all's help, we can put 20, 30, 50, 100, whatever it is. Whatever I get from the sale of T-shirts and stickers and whatever off the website, guys. So please, it's free shipping anywhere. Anywhere you're listening to this, you can get it free shipped. Now, mind you, I will say this. If you live outside of the United States, or at least outside of the 48 contiguous states, you might not get the stuff within a week, so keep that in mind. But if you do live within the coast-to-coast situation, I've seen where people have gotten that their stuff within a week. As long as I get notification soon enough and I can get it sent to production, and generally if I get a notification today, I'll send it to production today. It usually would get produced by tomorrow, and it's in the mail by Thursday. Seriously, that's about how quick it works, guys. So please, help me help them. And you guys get some cool stuff. So, anyway, on to the show. So, I talked about this, I don't know, let's see, we're in April. So, it was either beginning of the year or the end of last year. And I talked about Texas secession from the Union. And they were going to vote on this in March. Okay? So, my question to you guys, and this is kind of be the emphasis for today, and I haven't really titled the show yet. I'm still thinking about that. But is this country prime for division? Yes, Don, we know that. Okay, so on to the next topic. So this is a news article yesterday, which, mind you, you didn't hear a lot about anything other than the eclipse yesterday. Short of there being, 50 people mass murdered by AR-15, you aren't going to hear any kind of news other than the eclipse. To the point where, real quick, I don't have the story, but this has just popped in my head. But Sunday, I think it was, another cargo ship broke, lost power and broke loose from its containment in New York Harbor. I don't remember the bridge it was under, but close enough. And New York's a fucking shit ton busier than Baltimore. I think if I remember the story correctly, there was two tugboats on the ship guiding it out of the harbor, out of the port. And the container ship lost power, and it was too much for the two tugboats. And then I think they sent like two or three more out to help it. Crisis averted. But what's going on with that? I guess that's something I'll jump into. I'll have to research a little bit deeper. And is this, 2023 was the year of trains, right? Remember we had all the train crashes, and we talked about, it didn't start necessarily, but it started really making national news with the thing that happened in Palestine, Ohio. And then it seemed to matriculate from there. It seemed like every week we were talking about a train crash of some sort. And then I also told you how train crashes happen all the time. Here's I don't remember the numbers, but it was like, here's X amount of thousands that happen. It equates to X amount per week, and so on and so forth. Not to brush it off like it was not a big deal, but it's like, how often does this type of stuff happen as far as ships, these big monstrous ships losing power? We just happen to hear about it because of the travesty in which it occurred in Baltimore. How often does this happen that in New York and Virginia and, all these different states that have river ports, how often do they come to this similar situation? We looked at the Baltimore thing 2 weeks ago like it was a once-in-a-lifetime event. And, I talked about it being a cyber attack, which it still could have been. And even this situation on Sunday, could have been. Or is it something that is a frequent occurrence and we got to look into the problem? Pete Buttigieg, whatever. I don't know. He don't know shit. Anyway, so division is U.S. breaking apart with 25 states ready to leave. 25. You got half the country is ready to break away. A leading Texas independence campaigner has said that the United States is breaking apart with over 50% of the population in 25 states ready to secede based on its interpretation of two recent surveys by the polling company YouGov. The claim was made by Daniel Miller, the president of the pro-independence Texas National Movement, in the most recent edition of his Texas News podcast. Questions about the integrity of the U.S. have increased in the face of fiercely partisan politics in Congress and the contested 2020 presidential election. In February of 23, House Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene, MTG, sparked controversy after calling for a national divorce between red states and blue states. Between February 2nd and February 5th, YouGov asked 35,000 Americans whether they would support their state seceding from the Union and becoming an independent nation. The results varied considerably, from highs to 36% in Alaska, 31% in Texas, and 29% in California, to a low of 13% in Minnesota. Across the U.S., the survey found that 23% of Americans wanted their state to become independent, with 51% opposing and 27% unsure. Miller argued that in the survey, support for independence was lower than it should be because polling companies have no idea how to poll the issue of secession or withdrawing from the Union. To support the argument, Miller referenced a separate YouGov survey conducted in February for the Independent California Institute. The survey of 500 Californian adults found that 58% believe Californians would be better off than they are now in a scenario where California peacefully becomes an independent country with a friendly relationship to the U.S. Miller said the question was more accurately calculated support for secession, as it specified that it would be a peaceful and focus on whether individuals thought they would personally be better off. And real quick before I finish this, I see what he's saying here. So when you ask the average person, do you think Florida, for example, do you think Florida should separate from the union? And you just ask it like that. But in this situation with California, which is odd because California seems like they blame the federal government for their issues when really their issue is in Sacramento, but whatever. You just have President Slick Hair, what's his name? Gavin Newsom, right? So, whatever. I don't think Texas or Florida or any other state or whatever in this country that have an inkling of a thought that maybe we'd be better off on our own. I don't think any one of those states want to go to war with the United States. They just want to be left alone. And like I talked about this last year when this subject was initially brought up and we talked about the Civil War and how most everybody in the world, if you ask them, will tell you that they believe the Civil War was fought over slavery and freeing the slaves, which isn't entirely factual. It was basically states' rights. And you hear that terminology being used a lot more frequently. Like, for example, Trump just come out the other day talking about abortion shouldn't be a federal thing. It should be left up to the states, and that the Supreme Court, when they dismissed or whatever it is, Roe versus Wade, that it wasn't that they made abortion illegal. That's not what that meant. What that meant was it's no longer a federal decision to whether or not it is or isn't legal, but we're going to leave it up to the states, which is how most of everything should be done in this country. You know, the point of the federal government isn't to tax its individuals and cite law. It's to support the union and keep the 50 states together. Because obviously enough, and as much as I sit here and say whatever, we are stronger together. And that's the bottom line. Because if, as these states break off, you're going to have a weaker country. Okay, not to mention the fact that how vulnerable would Florida be or Texas be or California, whoever. Now, you would see a situation where these states would team up, so to speak, and, you know, whatever, whatever. But Miller said there was a 29-point difference between the two surveys, with 29% of Californians saying they would support independence in the first, while 58% said independence would make them better off in the second. So you had a 30-point difference between the two, and it was all based on how the question was asked. Not necessarily just leaving the country, but leaving it peacefully so you're still friends, and kind of how the United States is versus, say, with Israel or with Ukraine or England. When one of those areas are getting in trouble, I mean, and we could take England out of the mix because they're not really having any issues as far as foreign entities, but, you know, look at Ukraine, for example. What's that been, 3 years now, to what, however long that Russia situation has been, 2 years? We're bending over backwards for Ukraine, and look what happened in with Israel and Gaza and the Hamas there. That's been what, 3 months now, 4 months? And, you know, we can't sleep without hearing about one of those two situations. So it'd be a situation like that if California were to leave. They want to be peaceful about it, and we don't want to ruffle any feathers. We just want to do our own thing. But look, if we get in trouble, you got our back, right? And that's kind of the thing. And so when you have 29%, no. Yeah, well, I'd love to leave. And 71% is like, Now it's 58%. It's like, yeah, that's cool. We can leave. And 42% is like, So rounding this figure to 30%, then extrapolating it across the U.S., Miller concluded that 25 states – concluded that in 25 states, campaigns would win a hypothetical independence referendum. An analyst by Newsweek found that there were 23 states which could produce a majority for independence. If you add 30% to the figure supporting independence in the initial YouGov poll, Newsweek does not endorse these figures. The 29% discrepancy between the two. blah, 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 blah. That's called CYA. In his podcast, Miller added, the United States is breaking apart. Some people think that Texas is the only state with one foot out the door, but there's actually other states where support for secession is surging and ready to hit the tipping point. The United States is flying apart, he continued. States are ready to withdraw and in large numbers, and I think the public is generally aware. Speaking to Newsweek, Professor Matt Quivitor, a political scientist and an author of I Want to Break Free, A Practical Guide to Making a New Country, argued that support for independence often increased during referendum campaigns. He said, in independence referendums, you often see that those who want to succeed win over the campaign. In Scotland, the SNP, the Scottish National Party, came from a 29% at the beginning of the campaign to and ended on a 45%. In Quebec and in Scotland, support for independence was in the 20s when the issue was first discussed. Then this all has case moved within touching distance of independence. So, if if you live in a state like Florida, Texas, wherever you live, you have a group of people that feel one way or the other about this. And I would even venture a guess that the people say, no, we don't want to succeed. We want to be part of the United States. They don't really feel anything about anything. As far as, how do I want to say this? As fucked up as things have been lately, there's a lot of people that even though they go to the grocery store and spend more than they should be spending on food and whatever they need, still think, you know, it could be worse. We could be in, Korea, or we could be in China, or we could be this, or we could be that. And I get it. I understand what you're saying. But the problem is there's so many people that are, I'm going to say it, that are fucking morons. I'm sorry. It's true. And the interesting thing about that is this election coming up. And I've talked about this individual, and I'm not saying I'm the only person, but, you know, I started talking about RFKJ a while back, you know. And even I think before he even actually announced his run, and I talked about the things about him and the things I agreed with and the things I disagreed with him. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is part of this national divorce thing. You have a situation, and I'm going to play a bunch of videos here in just a second. So I'm going to say what I got to say, and then I'm going to play the videos, and then I'll say what I have to say on the backside. But if you guys are old enough to recall the 88, 92, 57, I'm just saying numbers. So 88 was Bush, ran again, 92 against Clinton. So if you remember the 92 campaign, you had George W. No, you didn't, not W, but HW. Daddy, you had Daddy Bush versus Clinton, right? Now, do you recall there being a third candidate in that mix, right? Do you recall the name Ross Perot? Okay. Now, not realizing I was actually going to talk about Ross Perot, I did not pull up any numbers, so forgive me. But now, in 88, I was a mere 47 years old. No, I'm joking. I was 15. But I do recall this election to the point where my parents were, they had the Ross Perot sign in the front yard and they're voting for Ross Perot. I'm 15. I'm like, what are you doing? You want to vote for Bush? Yes, I was that guy even at 15. And I guess now knowing a little bit about something and knowing a little bit about what Ross Perot stood for and what he was about probably wasn't a bad decision, in all honesty. I don't know all his stance on things, so I don't know exactly, but I get it now. I understand why they were doing that, because he was a businessman. He was this. He was that. He was kind of like the Donald Trump before Donald Trump. Not that Donald Trump wasn't Donald Trump in 88, but you know what I'm saying as far as from a political stance. And, but with that being said, he did a lot of damage to Bush's campaign, because there you had a faction of Republicans that were kind of over the Reagan era, which Bush fell into. And not for nothing, if you know any kind of history about George H.W. Daddy Bush, you know that he, and I've talked about Bush, and I'm not going to sit here and do a whole other segment on Bush. If you want to know anything about H.W., I did a whole series on the Bush family. Go find it and listen to it. But I think you had a group of people, kind of like you do today, who are steadfast, diehard, whatever party, but don't like their candidate. Thus, they voted for Perot. In the meantime, your Democrats voted for Slick Willie because that's who they wanted. Fast forward to today, you have people on both sides of the aisle. You have Republicans, you have Democrats. I'm not talking about people in Washington. I'm talking about me and you. I'm just talking about people like us. People that just go to work every day, you know, got a full-time job and a part-time podcast and just do their thing. And whether you're a Democrat and you like that party, whether it's Biden or Obama or whoever else, cool. Or if you're a Republican and you liked Bush and you like Trump and you like this person and that person, cool. I would venture to say that I am technically a registered Republican. However, as I have grown older and less trusting of the government, period, I don't know what I am. I guess I would be considered more of a centralist or a Nazi. No, I'm joking. I don't want to say independent. I don't want to, you know, but kind of more of a realist party. I don't know if that's one, but you know what I'm saying. You believe in small government. You believe in kind of like a, fuck, I can't think of the word. But those people, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, believe in rights, that you should have your rights, your freedom of speech, your guns, and so on and so forth. But the government should be limited and you should be able to live your life. If you want to do drugs, do drugs. As long as it's not affecting me, then whatever. But there also should be law and order, okay? But you have an individual, RFK, Robert Kennedy Jr., who has thrown his name in the mix. Now, you have his own family not even backing him because those individuals are what you call diehard Democrats, period. And they feel that Robert Kennedy running against a Democrat is sacrilegious. No, we're Kennedys, we're Democrats, and that's that. So it's almost like I believe that some people in his family believe that he should have waited. He shouldn't run now. He should have waited 4 years. But the thing is, okay, let's just say that RFK didn't run. Let's say he changed his mind, he didn't run. And let's just say Biden wins. Okay, so obviously he can't run again, but chances are Kamala's going to run, or they're going to put up Gavin Newsom or someone like that. So does RFK get the shake then? No, because he's kind of been ostracized based on his views on other things. So, here's a clip where he was on with Chris Cuomo. Now, Chris Cuomo, obviously, this probably goes without being said, so you should know, but I'm going to say it anyway. Chris Cuomo is now on News Nation. Okay, I don't watch the show. Not because of any reason, but I think I do have News Nation. So it might be something to start watching because I've heard a lot of, oddly enough, good things about Chris Cuomo now that he's not on CNN. So maybe I should give his show a chance since Fox is kind of sucking anyway. But whatever. This isn't a promo for Newsmax. Now, this was RFKJ on Chris Cuomo yesterday. So if you ever heard Robert Kennedy speak, you can understand that it is hard to listen to him. But I'm going to play this, and you can't see this, but I got something to comment on what I'm watching on the backside. But, yeah, listen to what he has to say here.
When I announced 9 months ago, I said, you know, our whole country has had, just had a big medical experiment for 3 years performed on them. And I'm going to do a mass experiment now myself. And it's an experiment just in telling the truth to people. The truth as I see it, which, you know, I could be wrong about. But if I'm wrong, I'm going to change that. And if there's an appetite in this country for hearing the truth actually from politicians, then, you know, then I'll win. I'll be president next November. I think people are so tired of being lied to. And, you know, when I was a kid, when my uncle was president, it was 80% of Americans believed the government. Americans believed the government would never lie to them. In fact, the first time that Americans realized our government lies to us is when Gary Francis Powers was shot down in the U-2. And in 1973, the Pentagon Papers came out, and Americans were like, oh, my God, the government actually lies to us. Today, 90% of Americans believe the government lies virtually every day. And if you don't believe that, then you're not paying attention. And one of the problems is, Chris, as you know, the journalist, the press, is no longer doing its job of questioning the president, of maintaining that posture of eternal and fierce skepticism. They've become, instead, amplifiers for all the lies that the government tells us. And you look at this polarization, and it's driven so much because people no longer have faith in any of the institutions of our country. The press, the regulatory agencies, the Congress, the president, they think everybody lies to them. And, you know, I think if we're going to bring people together and end this toxic polarization, We've got to restore people's faith in our government. And if I'm in there, I'm going to tell the truth to people. And that's what I'm trying to do now. And it's not always easy, because you have to admit when you made a mistake. And I made a mistake this weekend.
So I don't know what the mistake was, but he's right. Now, in all honesty, I'm going to speak honest to you guys. There's no way in hell I'm voting for Joe Biden. There's not even a question. I don't give a fuck if Trump or RFK become president and nothing is any better than it is today. But at least I know I tried. Because I know for a fact that if I elect Joe Biden, it damn sure ain't going to get no better. And it's more likely going to get worse. And I got stuff on that here in just a minute. But real quick, I've got one thing to say to Robert Kennedy Jr. I agree with a lot of his positions. The reason he's never going to get backing from the Democratic Party, if he wins, loses, or draws this situation and tries to run again, he's not going to get any support from the Democratic Party because of what he just said about COVID and vaccines. The funny thing is about vaccine or the COVID vaccine, and it's not that he's anti-vaccine, period. He's anti-experimental vaccines, and he's anti a lot of the children vaccines, because do we really need 57 shots for our kids? But whatever, that's a show for another day. If you recall, during the 2020 election, when COVID was going on and all this shit was happening, the left, Biden, Kamala, and all those jokers were talking about, there's no way in hell I'm taking the COVID shot. There's no way. If it's from his people, I'm not doing it. There's no way. And then as soon as they won the election, they're rolling their sleeves up. That's how kind of what he's talking about, how full of shit these politicians are on both sides. I'm not saying it's just the left. We know that the right lies just as much. And to the fact that what he said about the 90% of Americans feel that all the government, not just the president, but all of them, lie. And you hear him say what he just said, you go back and you're thinking, you're lying to me right now. There's like, there's no trust. It's like, and there's no way to prove that you're not going to lie, or you're, because how was it like on Seinfeld? If you ever watched Seinfeld, Costanza, right? It's not a lie. It's not a lie if you believe it to be true. Okay, so if you're a politician, you live your life by that ode. If you believe what you're saying is the truth, then it's not a lie. Now, if things, I mean, look at Biden, for example. Look at everything that he says. He talks about whatever. And when it doesn't go his way, what does he do? He blames Trump, or he blames the MAGA Republicans, or he blames the Supreme Court. Period. No, it's because what you're talking about is illegal and you can't do it and you're full of shit. You're a fucking liar. Period. Now, this was him on, this actually wasn't him, I'm sorry. This is Rob Schneider. So comedian Rob Schneider, SNL on a crap ton of Adam Sandler movies. Oddly enough, appears to be an RFK supporter. Now, I'm going to play this, and I'll talk over it or with it or at the end of it.
You're going with RFK Jr. Well, is that one of the reasons why?
I really, first of all, he's a friend of mine. I really like him, and he's actually talking about things that matter for the American public. What we want to do is not, we spend five times more than they do in Europe for health care, and we have way worse results. We can't have 60% of the American population unhealthy. 54% of children. That needs to be the biggest story for you guys in all mass media, the fact that children have chronic illness at over 50%. And that's a 10-12-year-old statistic. So we have to get people healthy. Yeah. And that's the only, I got little kids, and if that isn't the biggest concern by media, then what is? We need to spend $100 billion instead of giving it to Ukraine forever wars. We can end homelessness and get people healthy in one.
Now, and I completely agree with what he just said. I'm not a proponent of government health care or whatever. But what he said isn't right. Look at all the money we're giving to all these countries, not just Ukraine, but all of them. And I'm not even talking about Ukraine and Israel. I'm talking about all of them. And I did a show on that, too. And I listed all the numbers of the trillions of dollars we give to these countries, whom most of them hate our guts.
1 minute instead of just dumping our money.
Yeah. He's at 10% though in the polls.
He is 10%. That needs to get higher.
It needs to get a little higher.
We need to get at least 13, 14. Well, at least what's going to happen now because he's winning with people 34 and under and people who can't vote. He's winning.
Why do you think that is?
Because he's talking about things that really matter. Because, you know, unfortunately, we get two major parties in America. That's one more than China.
Yeah.
And I think people are tired of the same, you know, getting offered the same thing. We got it for you again, America. Trump versus Biden. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
But I think if you hear him speak, listen to Robert Kennedy. Hear him speak. He's talking about things that really do matter to the American people.
And when it comes to speaking and being free to speak your mind, obviously, you're here on the show, you're attacking Trump, you're attacking Biden. You don't care because free speech is about not caring about the consequences of your actions and your words.
There should be no governmental repercussions for your free speech. That's the whole point of the American
First Amendment.
Part of your whole attack against wokeness, it seems to me, comedians like you, our guy, Shane Gillis, you guys are attacking wokeness. Is wokeness in comedy on its last legs?
Well, I think it has to be. It has to be close to collapse, as my good friend James Lindsay said. It's about 12, 18 months before it collapses. It's entrenched power. And like right now, the Democrats have the entrenched power. It's the party. The Democrats now suddenly turned to not be the party of the people. Now they're the party of forever wars and they're the party of censorship. And
and, you know, he's right. You can't argue with what he's saying. Now, I think the biggest thing that I worry about with RFK is the fact that this guy, and I'm going to look this up real quick because I meant to do this and I forgot. I was thinking about it while I was at work. RFK. I can't tell you what I'm typing because that'll give it away. We don't want to do that. Here we go, right here. All right. Doom, doom, doom. Doom 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 doom. Come on. Why can't it just give me the fucking thing? God bless it. Okay, so we know that he is married to a girl, right? So he's not gay. No. He's married to an actress, Cheryl Hines, I think is her name. Okay, so He is not Trump by any stretch of the imagination, okay? And he might not even be Biden from a net worth standpoint from any stretch of the imaginations. But, however, he is worth more money. Actually, he is actually technically worth more than Biden. But I don't care about your fucking commercials. Can I read the goddamn fucking article? Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, so Trump, we know, is a billionaire, okay? Joe Biden somehow has amassed a fortune of $10 million as a lifelong politician, vice president, now president. So how you amass a $10 million windfall is beyond me. At any rate, Robert Kennedy Jr. has a net worth of $15 million. Now, mind you, that's probably between him and his wife, who his wife is an actress. But regardless, Robert F. Kennedy, prior to this, is and was a working guy. He worked. Now, he's an attorney. Oddly enough, works for Morgan & Morgan, one of the biggest law groups in the country. And he has a net worth of $15 million. Wife is a Hollywood celebrity. I don't know that she's necessarily an A-lister, but you've seen her in movies. And why am I bringing this up? If Robert F. Kennedy happens to be listening to this, chances are that's not the case. But if he is, number one, email me, donq@donttreadonamerica.com. I'd love to have you on. Number two, dude, you got $15 million in the bank. Can you go buy some new ties, please? Every time I see Robert F. Kennedy on TV, pictures, and he's wearing a suit, whatever color the suit is, doesn't matter. He's wearing the same tie, the exact same tie, not a version of the same tie, the exact same tie. And I wonder if I looked that up, let's see, RFK Jr., and his necktie, because I'm here talking trash about his necktie, and maybe it's like a heirloom from the family or whatever. So apparently it's autograph, signature, photograph. Oh no, that's a whole fucking thing. Here you go, mystery. I don't know. I don't really want to spend time on Kennedy's neckties, but I'm just curious why he wears the same fucking necktie every time you see him. Anyway, buy a new tie, Robert, Bobby, please. Do America a favor. You can't be president and wear the same necktie every day. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. But the only thing that worries me about Robert Kennedy is this, is who he's picked for his running mate, Nicole Sheridan or whatever her name is. Don't know a lot about her. From what I gather, she used to be or is or was a tremendously huge Democratic donor. I don't know how that was going to work out. Whatever. I kind of wish she would have gone another route. Surely there was a better candidate or running mate for him. I don't know who that would have been. Maybe a Gabbert or something like that. But I'm running out of time and I need to get going, but I don't want to skip too much stuff. So, this is RFKJ on Fox and Friends. I think this was this morning. And this is interesting.
One of the big issues for Democrats they've talked about is the threat to democracy. You raised some eyebrows yesterday when you were comparing the former president to the current president. You said in an interview that you believe that Joe Biden is a bigger threat to democracy than Donald Trump. This is what you have to say. Watch.
When people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is an equal evil to Biden?
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy.
Why did you say that?
And by the way, I said I can make that argument, and I think it's an argument that we ought to be having. President Biden has done something that no other president in history has done, which is to order media, particularly the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Google, to censor his political opponents. And, I can say this because I just won a lawsuit in the Federal Court of Appeals now before the Supreme Court. Because he began censoring me 37 hours after he took the oath of office, swearing to defend the Constitution. White House officials were on email with Facebook saying to them, you got to take down his post. Facebook actually pushed back and saying there's no misinformation here. This is actually what he's saying is accurate. And they had to make up a new term called malinformation, which is information that is accurate but nonetheless inconvenient to, politically inconvenient.
Harmful.
So there's been the First Amendment was put in the Constitution. Madison, Hamilton, Adams said we put it, free expression, the guarantee of the First Amendment, because all the other rights are dependent on it. If you have a president who can censor his political opponents, right, he is a license for any kind of atrocity. That is a genuine threat to our democracy.
So it's interesting what he was saying there about the social media situation. It made me think about what's going on with TikTok. Now, you heard what he just said, that the Biden administration, we're going to use them because they're the president. Now, I would assume Trump or whoever else could do the same thing. But where they demanded Facebook and Instagram, whoever, do whatever. We need the data. We need this. They turn on the FBI to the situation. And I think he says that here.
President Trump said about, about questioning the election and to the extent that he engaged in an effort to overthrow that, of course, that's a threat to democracy. But it is not the worst threat, undermining the First Amendment of our Constitution and then weaponizing the federal agencies to get his opponents off the ballot. And in my case, I just say particularly, denying me Secret Service protection. That's never happened in history.
You think he's behind that?
And he's probably a prime candidate based on family history.
Of course he is.
Does he know that your dad was assassinated?
He has a bust of my father behind him at the Oval
Office. So how does he sleep at night?
Well, I don't know, but it's just not right. All of these, the use of the courts, the use of prosecutors, the use of all these federal agencies to change our political landscape is wrong, and we should be debating about it. What President Biden did with his censorship project is he told the social media companies, we're going to withdraw, we're going to bring an antitrust case against you, and we're going to withdraw your Section 230 immunity, which is existential for those companies, if you don't give us a portal to censor. And then who did he give access to that portal? The CIA, the FBI, CISA, the IRS, NIH. So you had all these federal agencies that were now able to silence people who were questioning their policies, and that is really anti-American and anti-democratic.
So that right there is why I believe, personally, the whole situation is with TikTok, is because they can't do that with TikTok. I've talked about this time and time again, that the whole point of the quote-unquote TikTok ban has nothing to do with it being a Chinese-owned company other than the fact that it's owned by the Chinese and you don't have access to it. You can't go into a Mark Zuckerberg's office or whoever's office and say, you're going to do this or else. You can't do that with TikTok because it's not an American-based company. So, you understand where I'm going here? What he just said about losing your whatever, the Section 203, whatever it was called. But that stuff, he can't hold that against TikTok. So what's the better way to do it? Well, we got to ban it because it's a Chinese-owned company, and they're spreading misinformation, they're spreading malinformation, they're getting all your information, all your personal information, they're doing all this. But in the meantime, how many people shop Temu or these other shoppable websites to give their credit card information or addresses? That's not a threat. That's fine. But TikTok's dangerous. It's not that TikTok is dangerous. It's that they can't control what you see on TikTok. TikTok. That is what is dangerous. So, I guess the best question to ask is this. We need you to pause. I need to go up here and see what my question was. Is RFK Jr. set to be the president, or is his job to disrupt the Democratic Party? Well,
so there's no Biden.
This is, let me pause here real quick. This is a New York campaign director for RFK Jr.'s campaign. And this is what he had to say, or she had to say, about the whole situation.
No.
Name's Rita Palmer.
Things, I guess, will change over time because you do have to only pick one candidate at the end of the day. But the Kennedy voter and the Trump voter, the enemy, our mutual enemy, is Biden. Since Biden is counting on us with Bobby in the mix, my thought is for the Republicans. See, Bobby right now, he's pulling from both sides. Right now, he's actually pulling a little bit more from Biden, which explains why the DNC is kind of ganging up on him. They have a special committee to go after independent candidates. Yeah, they say independent candidates, like non-affiliated candidates, they really mean Bobby, because Bobby's the only third party that anybody's taking seriously. So they developed a committee just to go after him and to get him off of the ballot in any way they can, especially it seems as though they're going after the battleground states more than the deep blue states. Bobby's moving the blues on his own. If the Republicans has accepted the fact that New York, Maryland, Chicago, Illinois, California, New Jersey, Connecticut, most of the Northeast is going to go blue, why wouldn't we put our vote to Bobby and at least get rid of Biden and get those 28 electoral votes in New York? The card's a little wrong. It says 26 electoral votes. Give those 28 electoral votes to Bobby rather than to Biden, thereby reducing Biden's 270. And we all know how that works, right? 270 wins the election.
So the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So in other words, I think in their heart of hearts, they know they're not going to win. And I don't want to have to keep looking stuff up, but I don't know that how old exactly RFK is. He's not terribly old, but I'm going to look it up anyway. Because I want to, he's 70. I didn't think he was that old. I'll be honest with you. I really did not think he was that old. But, so I don't know if his thought process is, you know, at least not Biden. At least not Biden. Here's my problems with RFKJ. Is deep down inside, he's a Democrat. He might be running as an independent, but we know what he is. He's a Kennedy. He says that he is not anti-Second Amendment, but I will also say this about that. Of all the politicians anywhere in this country, he, of all of them, have the best argument to be anti-Second Amendment based on family history. Now, not saying that it gives him the right to ban guns, and he has said as much that he would not go after that as a talking point, but if legislation hit his desk, he would sign it. So there's my problem with him, period, because crazier things have happened that could pass the House and the Congress, depending on who's sitting there happy asses in the House. It could happen. That's the one thing that worries me about RFK. He says a lot of the right things, but that's the one sticking point that I can't get around. That's kind of the thing that bothers me about Tulsi Gabbard, too. But real quick on this one, Democrats commit vastly more dark money than Republicans. So last week, we had a situation where Biden had Clinton and Obama and a bunch of celebrities, and they raised $25 million, right? And it was a big, oh, he raised $25 million, most ever, blah, 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 blah. Well, then this past weekend, Trump had himself, and, you know, it was a dinner or whatever. He raised like just over $50 million, doubling what Biden and his posse did. But it's even more than that. And the thing is about those two totals is most of that money for Biden came from large money donors, whereas a lot of the money from Trump came from small money donors, people like me or you that might give $5, $20, you know, $100, whatever. So a look at dark money groups and their backers fueling the 2024 presidential election. Democrats are outspending Republicans $800 million to $160 million. Democrats, dark money groups, mega donors, and unions are funding a massive spending effort aimed at reelecting Joe Biden and advancing the Democratic Party's power in Washington. So far, nine major outside spending groups say they will together spend nearly $8 million to support the reelection of Joe Biden. This is in addition to a massive financial resources the Biden campaign and the Democratic National Committee will likely pour into the rematch of the 2020 election. The progressive organization's American Bridge 21st Century Campaign for the Family Friendly Economy. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm not going to read this whole article. Point is this. You have a group of mega donors and million and billionaires sinking. Right now it's at $800 million. Surely that's going to eclipse $1 billion before it's all said and done to get this jackass reelected. So the reason they want him reelected is because what's going on in this country right now doesn't affect those people. They've got money to wipe their ass with. And to go to the point where you know these motherfuckers don't care about people like me and you, there's your proof. Biden can get on there and Korean diversity hire and all these people can get on there and they could say whatever they want to say about how great the economy is. The fact of the matter is the job numbers come out on Friday, which no one's talking about, and they're steady. They're at 3.8 and jobs are this and unemployment is that and so on and so forth. And it's like, oh, look, that's a win. Here's the thing. Over 500,000 jobs were lost last month were full-time jobs. Now, even though the quote-unquote job numbers are still good, it's like I've been saying for the past 3 years, it's a fake number. Who am I? I'm just a dude that fucking goes to work every day. I do a podcast 3 days a week. My tagline, right? I'm just a dude with a full-time job and a part-time podcast. Who the fuck am I? I'm a guy that has two eyes and a little bit of fucking common sense, and I can know what actually goes on in the real world. I'm not your typical podcaster that sits in an office and sits and I'm all high and mighty and I got my producers writing my shit for me. I come up with my own stuff. Chris throws me some bones. But for the most part, it's me and it's him. Okay? Now, I'm not saying this to say that I'm better than everyone else. I'm not saying that. My point is this. The real world that is this podcast is the fact that I personally know people who work two and three jobs just to make the ends meet. Why? Because the economy is so great? No, but that one person working three jobs accounts for that number to make dipshit in the White House look good. Now, it's not that this person works three jobs because they want to work 120 hours a week. It's because this person can't find a full-time job because the economy sucks so bad. And unfortunately, when you work in retail and you work in these types of jobs, you don't get the 40 or 40-plus hour work weeks. You might get a 20 or a 30-hour work week. And, of course, you know you're not getting paid a shit ton per hour, so you might have to work 30 hours here and 20 hours there and maybe 10 hours over here. So don't tell me that you know anything because you don't know shit. The fact of the matter is the numbers look good on paper because technically those are asses in the seats. They're doing a job. The problem is they don't break that number down and tell you that it's one person working two or three jobs. That's your problem. So they don't tell you, they're not lying to you. They're not telling you the whole truth. The truth is that you might even know, people listening to this right now, you yourself might be one of these individuals. And you might have a job where you're working 40 hours a week. But it's not enough. So you got to go work another 10 or 20 hours doing something else to make a little extra money. I've done it. Fortunately, I'm in a point in my life where I don't have to do that. Not bragging, but we all go through rough times in our lives. And I had to do it myself. I worked where I work now, and I delivered pizzas every day after work. Granted, it wasn't a hard back-breaking job, but I would much rather have been sitting my happy ass at the house watching TV, relaxing, till go to work the next day. But no, I worked another 5 hours every day after work. So you guys that have your six and seven figure incomes doing a podcast, or you're a politician, or you're this or you're that. Don't talk to me about nothing because you don't know shit about anything. Period. Okay? Because times are tough. I just went grocery shopping today with my wife when I got off of work. We didn't even fill up a shopping cart. It was $130. And I'm not saying that because, we spent $130. And I don't have a family to raise. My kids are all grown, thank God. God forbid if I had one or two or three kids living in a house and had that grocery bill. So I understand. I do. I truly do. All right. What is this?
Obama.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone.
Do more.
How'd he give you a phone?
You sign up. If you on full stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Hey, I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks.
Okay, I agree with her. Romney does suck. Now, do you guys remember when that was back in 2012 when Obama was running for re-election, the whole thing, the Obama phone, right? And he ran on that, and he won on that, giving away free stuff. Well, let me introduce you to the 2024 version.
People's debt was literally about to get canceled, but then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us, and the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't... Well, that didn't stop us. No, I mean it sincerely. We continue to find alternatives past to reduce student debt.
See, he's breaking the law because no one sued him. The Supreme Court said it's illegal. What you're doing is illegal. But here he keeps on doing it. And this is nothing more than him trying to win votes. That's all it is. And I'm going to say this real quick about that because I want to wrap this show up and I got one more thing I want to talk about. You people that went to college, okay? The crux of the matter is this. 87% of Americans don't even have student debt. So once again, let's bow down to the minority of people who do actually have this debt, being it's only 13% of the people. Okay, well, Don, it's only 13%. That's not that much money. It is that much money. 13% sounds like a small number, but it's really like 40 million people. So it's not that little of money. Here's my problem. I'm watching these protests. I'm watching these people. We need money. We need our debts canceled. We need this. We need that. Why aren't you guys at fucking work? You went to college. You got a degree for something. Maybe, hear me out. If you're in high school and you happen to be listening, if you happen to stumble upon this show and you're thinking about, gee, I want to go to college, but I don't quite know what I want to do. Can I give you a hint? Don't go to fucking college. One of the smartest things my son ever did, and I had nothing to do with this, is, okay, this is just a quick story. Back in 1936, no. So my son played high school football. He was pretty good. He wasn't great. I think his biggest issue was he was undersized. Not that he's not 6'2", and at the time was 290 pounds. He wasn't that undersized, but for an offensive lineman, kind of was. Anyway, got plenty of offers from small schools. Unfortunately, those offers were not for full scholarships. It was partial, what they do, partial scholarships. And a lot of these schools were private schools. So now this was still, mind you, what, 10 years ago, right? God, I'm getting old. He just turned 28. So, God damn, I'm old. Anyway, he's my youngest too. Crazy. Anyway, so 10 years ago, and it was, I can't remember the numbers exactly, but I think it was 32,000. It was either a semester or a year that someone was going to have to pay, whether it was me or him. And guess what? Daddy ain't got that kind of money. Okay. So my question to him was, look, I want you to do this. However, I can't afford it. So before we go any further in even trying to, he was good. His grades were good. He probably could have applied for some academic scholarships also and maybe cut that number down, but whatever, whatever. What do you want to go to school for? Besides being able to play football, which, not for nothing, it was a Division III school. What's the chances you're going to do anything more than play for this school for 3 or 4 years? And whatever you go to school for, you're going to do the rest of your life. You know, at 17 years old, he's like, well, my knees are already hurting. My back's already hurting. Do I want to put 4 years of my body into playing football? And if it had been for a full ride scholarship, might have been a different synopsis, you know what I'm saying? But the fact that he was going to have to come out of pocket brought him to the decision of, do I want to get to a point where whatever I want to do in life, I'm not going to be able to do because I'm so banged up from playing football? Okay, number one. Number two, do I want to take out a student loan for, you know, $120,000 or whatever it was going to be for 4 years? And I don't even know what I want to do. Smartest thing he's ever done. Because he would have been one of those people that had $100,000, $150,000, whatever student loan debt that he didn't even know what he wanted to go to school for. Now, how many of these people that have this debt went to school for something that they didn't know they wanted to do? Or they got a worthless degree, or that they got a degree in something that they got a degree. I got a degree in criminal justice. Now I'm a police officer. Well, you know, you could have probably done that without going to 4-year university. I'm just saying. But those are my points. And we as American taxpayers shouldn't be punished because these people made bad decisions. We all make bad decisions. If you have credit card debt, if you never went to college, okay. Not laughing at you. Not all of us went to college. And you didn't rack up $100,000 or whatever in student loans, but you've got $50,000 in credit card debt. Should you be able to get that paid off? And not wiped away where it affects your credit, but it actually helps your credit. No. The answer is no, because it's not my fault that you ran up $100,000 on your credit cards. Right? Just like it's not my fault that you went to school and didn't apply yourself to actually get a degree in something that was going to pay the fucking bills. Period. Full stop. All right. So you know what really sucks about getting old is hearing about stories, you know, like this. A commercial. Because I had it set up for the fucking work, and no, I got to get a goddamn Geico commercial. Fucking shit. It was going to be beautiful because I had it set up to come in with some firehouse with Don't Treat Me Bad. Here we go. Alright, that's CJ Snare, lead singer of Firehouse. Huge band back in the 80s. I used to love Firehouse. He died Sunday at the age of 64. Lead vocalist who was expected to return touring this summer after his recovery from abdominal surgery passed unexpectedly at his home Friday night. So, there you go. Had cardiac arrest after a long journey with cancer. So, it really sucks. 64, he wasn't the youngest man. But good songs, good times, good memories. We're going to miss you, CJ Snare and Firehouse. Rock on, buddy. Rock on. All right. I do have one last thing. I know we're running long. We're running long. And, of course, it didn't update on my computer, so I'm going to have to grab my phone here and pull the story up for you. Hold on a second. This broke as I was getting ready to record. That's why it's not pulling up on my computer because, you know, computers, right? Oh, here it pulled up now that I opened my fucking phone. I swear to fucking God. I swear to fucking God. Computers hate me. I don't know if you know this, but computers really do hate me. All right. This is breaking. This popped up just as I was getting ready to record. Virus, 100 times worse than COVID, puts world dangerously close to pandemic. Now, oddly enough, I talked about this a week ago. I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to do whatever. I'm just trying to prove to you guys that I'm worthy of your listenership. If you go back and listen to the show on April 2nd, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you again, a virus said to be 100 times worse than COVID is reportedly putting the world dangerously close to the next pandemic, an expert warned. Cases of avian flu are rising among humans, which includes one recently found in Texas, leading to concerns among medical professionals about the deadly H5N1 strain. Dr. McGillicuddy, I don't know his name, not trying to say it, a bird flu researcher based in Pittsburgh, claims the world is closer to another pandemic than any point since the coronavirus outbreak, as the avian flu appears to be fatal to half of its patients. The virus has been on top of the pandemic list for many, many years and probably decades, and now we're getting dangerously close to this virus potentially causing a pandemic. Dr. Klubukotipo said during a White House briefing that the H5N1 virus have already demonstrated several important features of a potential pandemic virus. The virus is already globally distributed, and this virus particularly that is often perceived as an avian virus can, and it has shown the ability to infect a range of mammalian hosts, including humans. So we asked a question, it's April, in 7 months, a little less than 7 months, we go to vote. Is this going to get blown? Is this going to be the thing that causes 2020 to happen again? I kind of thought maybe it'd be war and he would claim martial law, but could this be the one? Could this be what does it? The problem is you have a large portion of this country, like I talked about earlier in the show and what RFK Jay said, that 90% of this country doesn't trust the government. Are they going to trust the government on this? I guess that remains to be seen. So, with that being said, guys, I love to end the show on death, right? Guys, please make sure whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, you're following the show, you share the show. If you're on Apple or Spotify, make sure you can give me a 5-star and hook a brother up. And please follow us on social media, Don't Tread on America on Facebook, Instagram, Truth Social, on the Ticker Talker. Don't forget about the website, DontTreadOnAmerica.com, and on the Twitter X machine, DTom_1775. And you can email me, DonQ@DontTreadOnAmerica.com. Guys, please don't forget about our sponsors, charity work right there, DTom Store. Link is on the podcast app. And over here, we got Reaper Apparel Co. Link also on the podcast app. Check them out. Use promo code DTom at Reaper Apparel. Get you 10% off. DTom Store, everything ships free. Other than that, guys, you have a fantastic rest of your Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day you're listening to this on. And I will see you on, or I won't see you. Maybe you'll see me, because don't forget, we're also on Rumble on Don't Tread on America TV. Hi. You guys have a great day, and I'll talk to you again on Thursday. So please continue to listen, continue to share, and let's see where we go with this. All right, guys, come on.